Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Going to change gears a little bit, and a guy that shed some light on, maybe what he's really thinking as opposed to what's been rumored to what he has been thinking, and Aaron Rodgers. Going to hear a little bit from him coming up here just shortly, but Paul Emig, our Green and Gold analyst, now joining us on the Schneider Orange Hotline. So, Paul, yesterday Aaron Rodgers says, look, it's not about being the highest paid player, and both sides are now, you know, discussing things. Apparently, he kind of insinuated that the fact that the Packers weren't as quick to come to the phone calls, so to speak, as what they were leading people to believe about getting Aaron Rodgers locked up. But that being said, it didn't sound like Aaron Rodgers was pissed off at the organization, did he?
No. If anything, I think it was an opportunity for him to, you know, in a way, I think he's fortunate, just from a public perception perspective, that he had an opportunity to speak with the media in a, you know, in a group setting up in Green Bay on the same day or within a 24-hour span of that Yahoo report coming out, and about how, you know, sources close to Rodgers say that, you know, and so that was a good chance for him to kind of clear the air and to kind of let, at least to a certain extent, him tell his side of it, or and, you know, and like you said, he did say a couple things that, you know, the in reference to the organization has said this off season, or, you know, all these other things. But, you know, if you do look at some of the reporting that surrounded that Yahoo story the other day, you can start to get an idea. Play hardball, ball.
I don't know what that was. Holy mackerel! Let's put Paul on hold.
What was that?
Let's put Paul on hold, because apparently the aliens got a hold of Paul. Put Paul on hold and see if he can either call us back or try that again. I don't know what that was.
What the hell was that?
But Paul sounded like a bunch of cats got into his pants and castrated him. I don't know how else to put it.
I'm going to have to save that audio.
Yeah, save that audio. That's Paul Emig, how he would sound as if he was getting an anal probe from the aliens.
I've never heard of that.
That wasn't good.
That is one of the strangest sounds I've ever heard in my career.
If that isn't Big Brother running tape on you, I don't know who is. That was weird.
Maybe the Packers are taping this.
That was weird. So those of you listening out there in La La Land, wherever you are, we had nothing to do with that. We're just sitting here looking at each other going, what? Wait a minute. You know?
Okay. Paul's back? We'll try this again.
Okay. Paul, you there?
I'd like to clear the air. I have not been abducted by aliens.
Okay. You didn't deny the anal probe, though.
I didn't hear that part. I didn't know I had to...
Yeah, it was the weirdest thing. We're going to play that back, because that was the weirdest thing I've ever heard. Yeah, I don't know what just went. When some just, I got goosebumps. I don't know what it was. That was crazy.
I want to hear it, because I obviously didn't hear it. I have full service. I don't know if like the snow did just start coming down pretty hard. I don't know if it's the weather patterns, but I'm interested to hear it back. And
it was weird.
I'm still earthbound.
The best way I could describe it is the tape got snagged and started running really fast. First, you got all balled up, and then the tape started speeding up, and then you went into mouse mode.
Have you considered the possibility that this is an elaborate prank that I'm playing on you, and I did that all on purpose?
I have not, and it would be brilliant if you did.
Now, why would he do that?
just you know, because we're a little bit past April. It's the April Fool's. That's late. You know, why do it on April Fool's Day when you expect it? Right. That was weird. I don't know what happened.
17 days later is the optimal time. I'll try to jump back in and act like nothing ever happened, and I'll keep going with what I was talking about. The Rodgers thing, again, I think this was an opportunity for him to reset and get things out from his perspective. And I did want to say about the contract thing, I don't know why the Packers would play hardball with him, but there is something to be said for some of the articles written yesterday. I'll reference Pro Football Talk, where it said if the Packers wanted to, they could let Rodgers play out the last 2 years of his current contract, franchise tag him twice, and by that time he's 38 years old. And, you know, presumably worth a lot less. So in that instance, Rodgers does not have leverage. Now, again, when you could talk about a player this important, I don't know why you would want to play hardball to that extent. I don't think that's what Gutekunst and his front office is doing in these negotiations, but maybe there's something to that, where I think everyone looks at Kirk Cousins and his fully guaranteed $28 million per year contract and says, well, Rodgers is going to have to top that now. Well, Kirk Cousins had all the leverage and all the options in the world, and Rodgers doesn't have that. So is that playing a factor? I don't know. But yeah, I mean, definitely a good chance for Rodgers to kind of set the record straight a little bit, and you know, after the Yahoo story and sources close to him and blah blah blah. So yeah, you know, certainly an interesting press conference, I suppose, to say the least.
I don't know still specifically what's going through Aaron's mind, but I do know one thing I wrote this, you know. There may be animosity. He may feel like, hey, I should get more. I should be paid higher. Whatever. I mean, you know, he understands what it is. It, once he takes the money's gone and nobody else gets it and all that kind of stuff. But I said all along, I don't care what's going on between the team and Aaron Rodgers. Once he comes into camp, once he straps it on, once the pad hits, once he starts getting some of his wide receivers and Devontae and company and starts working with Jimmy Graham. And, you know, I mean, you hate to lose Jordy, okay? Your good friend, the guy you ride to work with every day, you're confident. You hate to lose that. But Brett Favre did it. He referenced Favre and said, now I know what Brett went through. You get it. You know, guys move on, and if you're really a great quarterback, you stay. You're the only common denominator. So that being said, I just think that once it all gets going for real, this is all going to be gone. We're not going to worry about this anymore, and I don't think there's going to be any lingering effect of all of this.
I don't think so either. And again, winning always cures all, of course. That's not just a saying. It's the truth with a lot of professional athletes, all athletes at most levels. And I think, yeah, when you look at it and you say, like, I mean, a quarterback can play until their late 30s. And now if you ask Tom Brady, can play until they're 40 and beyond. Wide receivers aren't going to do that. I mean, people say when a running back pretty much reaches age 29, they are on their last legs. At age 29, you know, right. A wide receiver that plays over the age of 30 is like, wow, I mean, this guy is running out of gas. And they're 30, you know. And Rodgers going into his age 34 season, and, you know, it's like, he's at a point where he's talking about a multi-year, huge multi-million dollar extension on a two-year deal that he already has left. So, you know, it is that hard realization that as a quarterback, if you do perform well, and he said this, you are going to outlive from a positional perspective and your length in the NFL, your timeline in the NFL is going to be that much longer. And yeah, you end up saying, you know, watching James Jones go from your, you know, go from your best touchdown catching wide receiver to breaking Packers news on Twitter in the span of 2 years. You know, like, that's how quickly it can happen. And from Jordy Nelson being your favorite target and your best friend on the team to being an Oakland Raider. So it is that hard realization, and I think he is now on the flip side of it, that for all the talk about when Rodgers was a young player and not a starter and he saw Brett Favre going through, yeah, he is now on the other end of that and seeing it firsthand, and has been, you know, for several years, going back to, like you had referenced with James Jones.
So All that aside, you get a guy, you know, that comes into this organization, and you're looking at the tight end position. You're saying, okay, you've got Jimmy Graham, you've got a little bit of depth, but Jimmy Graham says, look, I don't know exactly how they want to use me, but the versatility's there. I still, defensively, I question his team. Nothing has changed. Offensively, I got to admit, I'm excited. I know that they still need to add another wide receiver. I know they need to fix the right side of the offensive line and figure that out. I'm sure they have something in mind, but If Aaron Rodgers stays upright, and between Graham and Adams and Cobb and whoever else it is they pick up, and then if Geronimo Allison seems to come on the way Aaron Rodgers led us to believe a couple of years ago when he was throwing passes to him, I'm excited that this team can score some points. Are you?
Yeah, and I know there is question about the number two wide receiver spot, and there's a good backlog of young players that you have to kind of give a chance to, and you need to see what Geronimo Allison can be, or D'Angelo Yancey can be, or Michael Clark, and you know, there's guys there. Now, are these, like, high prospect type of guys that you've seen coming and they were second-round picks? No, but I do think that's a position, Bill, that if the board falls a certain way, the Packers, I truly believe, will draft a wide receiver before the end of round three. So if you assume that has a normal trajectory where, you know, a Devontae Adams career arc, I mean, think how many second-round picks wide receivers the Packers have had great success with during the Ted Thompson era. I expect that to be a position they address. Tight end, I mean, having Jimmy Graham there, you know, you go from Jared Cook to Martellus Bennett to Jimmy Graham. you know, like you said yesterday, he's still 6'7". He still runs a 4.5, and he's still a big, fast guy. And it'll be interesting to see the way Mike McCarthy utilizes someone of that skill set. And again, what the Packers have going into this upcoming season that they haven't had in a long time is a very steady, if not, you know, with high upside, running back duo, and really even trio with Ty Montgomery. Having that is not something that the Packers have gone into most off seasons not worrying about. There's almost always been the question of, you know, something to do with Eddie Lacy, something to do with James Starks, going back to like, well, Cedric Benson, and does he have enough legs left? And, you know, having this young group of running backs, and you can include Ty Montgomery in there, is a huge bonus. If Rodgers has a healthy season, I don't think any of us expect the Packers offense to look remotely like what it did this past season. And, yeah, I think really it's a question now of who do you groom at tight end and to play alongside Jimmy Graham and ultimately take his place. I would expect the Packers to draft a tight end, you know, if not two, this draft. And then what do you do at the number two wide receiver spot? I assume it's going to be addressed through the draft. And I'm not referring to Randall Cobb, of course, because he's, you know, you look at him as a slot receiver. But, you know, do you just give these chances and see if a Yancey or a Clark or a Geronimo Allison step up? And, you know, they have the opportunity to do that because Rodgers does make guys look good. On the flip side, I do want to just mention, because his name popped in my head while you're asking the question, let's not forget there's also guys like Jarrett Boykin throughout the history of this team that looked like, wow, and look, you know, this guy could really come on, and he's undrafted, and how much untapped potential is there to unlock? And then 2 years later, they're, you know, completely a non-factor. The Packers release them, et cetera. So I guess you kind of have to be careful when you're talking about young, undrafted, unheralded guys. They can become Donald Driver, but they can also become Jarrett Boykin.
Hey, I also wanted to ask you when it comes to some of the comments made yesterday, and specifically by some of the guys in the secondary. Ha Ha Clinton Dix said that there wasn't accountability. Ha Ha Clinton Dix also said that, you know, they were tired of Demaryius Randall, and they went to the coaches and said, hey, this guy's kind of an idiot, you know. Were you surprised by all of that?
I think, Bill, to a certain extent, writing's on the wall. Mike McCarthy's Demaryius Randall needs to clean his own house comment told us all we needed to know. The way that the players had felt about that group, and more likely that specific player in Demaryius Randall. I look at that, Bill, as confirmation of almost what we all assumed. And, yeah, I mean, I do find it a little bit interesting that Clinton Dix would be part of that description, because he's coming off, Bill, a really bad season, you know, and it's tough to, you know, throw stones from the glass house and all the old analogy, but he was part of the problem. Maybe not from an accountability perspective, but from a performance perspective in Clinton Dix. But again, when the Packers trade a position of weakness, arguably their best player at their biggest position of weakness, and that's Demaryius Randall, for a backup quarterback, and Mike McCarthy's making, you know, clean his own house type of comments, I think that was all the writing on the wall we needed to know, that was a situation that was probably untenable. No matter how well Randall would have played, no matter he would have switched to free safety in Green Bay or Cleveland, it's not a guy seemingly that anybody wanted around. So it's, you know, I don't think it's a surprise, other than maybe just a confirmation of what we thought we already knew.
Yeah, I was a little bit taken aback by that they just, or at least Ha Ha Clinton Dix just unloaded. Now it makes me think, because I'm thinking, well, you know what? Maybe that's part of the reason that it wasn't great, you know, was because Demaryius Randall was back there and other guys are trying to cover for his either ignorance, obstinance, or just his inability to cover. Maybe that was the reason other guys were out of position, and you saw the finger pointing, because he just wasn't that damn good to begin with.
Yeah, and when you're performing at a very average, and he had a really, after that Bears game and that benching and the whole thing that happened at Lambeau Field that night, he really, really turned a corner from a talent and ability perspective. But when you are going to talk a big game, and at the same time you're going to be a guy who gets kicked off the sideline, something just unprecedented to happen, really in the NFL, much less under Mike McCarthy's regime and in his tenure here, you had really better be an elite, elite player to kind of get away with some of that. And no matter how much Demaryius Randall came on as a player as the 2017 season kind of wound down, he did. He was really looking like a guy who was going to come on. There, we shouldn't. I mean, this isn't playing NFL Madden, you know, on PlayStation. This it's there is team chemistry issues. There are things that locker rooms and locker room accountability and having leaders and having the right guys in the right spots, there is a lot to be said for that. And, you know, apparently this, I don't know if they're all trying to put the, you know, has Randall just be the fall guy entirely or if he just was kind of the final straw of it. But, you know, I think this more confirmed what I thought I knew, and it is interesting, though, to kind of hear it in full context.
Paul, always good. And real quick before we let you go, I know we're running a little bit late, but this is you earlier when the aliens floated down and took you up.
You know, if you do look at some of the reporting that surrounded that Yahoo story the other day, you can start to get an idea. Play hardball, ball, ball. I don't understand. Being a...
Oh. That was it.
What?
That's what happened while we were on the air talking to you.
Play hardball, ball, ball. I don't understand. Being a...
Oh. There you go.
That's amazing. I mean,
yeah.
I'm amazed. That's pretty great.
That scared the hell out of me, and I'm going to go home and sleep under my bed tonight. There you go. All right, buddy. Talk to you soon.
See you guys.
See you. There you go. That's Paul Emig. And we hoped that was really Paul Emig. We don't know. Could have been E.T. You know? He's in a mothership right now. They've inserted something. Probing Paul Emig. That could be
a
movie.
Hardball, ball,
yeah.
Ball.
Uh-oh.
Uh-oh.
That's scary stuff right there. I don't care who you are. More of the Bill Michaels Show next.
Play hardball, ball, ball.
To Border, the Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network. Oh, oh,
oh, O'Reilly. Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly. Auto Parts.